This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. What follows is an interview conducted at Muslim Journal newspaper, January the 5th in the year 2000. The interviewer is Nathaniel Omar of Muslim Journal newspaper. The interviewee is W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman.
Mr. W.D. Muhammad, thank you for giving us this opportunity to talk to you about some of the recent occurrences. At a recent news conference, Ms. Farrakhan announced his recovery from his bout with the cancer. Have you had any contact with him since starting his show?
No, not directly, no. But correspondence, I sent correspondence to him. Congratulating him on his amazing recovery. I understand that he's saying that he's 95% healed. So we thank Allah for his improvement and pray that he continues to improve until there is no more problem, health problem for him. We congratulate doctors and all who worked with him for the success that he had.
Now, at this conference, Ms. Farrakhan also announced conceptual changes, whereby he apologized for his past racial statements and philosophies. Do you think that these changes will have, or will improve the chance for unity between the two communities, between the Muslim Islam and the Muslim
American? Yes. Yes. In fact, we were already feeling a sense of, I would say, fraternal bond with Minister Farrakhan and the members of the Nation of Islam under his leadership. Ever since I attended the Jummah service, I attended Jummah and the MCC at MCC, and arrived there too late to join them in the standing prayers, but I joined them for dua. And ever since then, I have felt that there is no more separation. We are one Muslim community. We are one with the international Muslim community of the world. I was convinced of that when he had his followers observe the Jummah prayer. And this new announcement that he's made is more, I would say, extensive. It's detailed. It's detailed. And it makes it very comfortable for us to join him in whatever he's doing for the betterment of the society, and especially for the correct projection of Islam.
Now, do you perceive the minister's role of importance in the Muslim community and the African American community also? How would you speak to that?
Farrakhan is very popular. Minister Farrakhan is a very popular leader. He has been for all these years that I've known him to be a leader. When he was minister in the Nation of Islam, when I was there, he was always a very electrifying speaker, articulate, natural ability. So a person like that is very valuable to the Muslim community of Chicago and the United States, and also very valuable as a spokesperson for the disadvantaged and lost people. And there are many of us still disadvantaged, and there are many of us still lost, seriously lost. So Farrakhan is very important as a leader Chicago area and in the United States.
Now, what would be your message to your supporters in the Muslim American Society, and similarly your message to Minister Farrakhan followers in the United States concerning the recent changes? And what is your hope for the two communities as we go into the year 2000.
Yes, my message is that we have done what we thought we had to do to go forward as Muslims in the right meaning and in the right spirit. It took us many years to get where we have gotten, that is in unity with Muslims all around the world who follow the Quran, the Word of God, and Muhammad, the Messenger, the Servant of God, peace be upon him. It has taken us many years to get where we are. We've had patience with our earlier thinking. It was always my belief that the majority of the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad were innocent people who were believing the concept of Islam that they had was correct. So if people are innocent, you shouldn't just abruptly bring them around to the truth if you think that will upset them, cause them pain, mental pain. You should be considerate of their situation and try to bring them safely along the road to where they should be. That's what I have tried to do in the name of God, with the help and with prayers of help from my brothers and sisters, not only in the Temple of Islam, but many of Muslims who know me outside of America, and immigrant Muslims in America. They have prayed for our success. And with their prayers and with our prayers, we have been successful. So my message to Minister Farrakhan is that we are happy to know that the situation has developed now because of his staff, his region's staff. The situation has developed now for us to just embrace each other and sit down together and support each other in all good works.
Now we just could turn the clock around and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would have a chance to see this. What do you think he would say?
Yeah. Lord my father. He would have some serious criticism, but he'd be very happy. He'd tell the people to follow Wallace D. Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan.
How do you call it your trip to the Savior's Day last year? Have you a message for the Savior's Day? Will you be there in person to be with them?
Yes, I plan. I've been invited to join Minister Farrakhan, who will give the address on the 27th of the Sunday. And I plan to join him to be there. I show my support. And also to celebrate with them. It's a big celebration. And I see it as a Savior's Day celebration.
Now you know how we are. We thought that we're going to be there.
Well, we are hoping we will. We should all be there. We should all be there. Yes, sir. We should all be there. We should join them on the 27th to hear the major address that's going to be delivered by Minister Farrakhan. I also intend to be at the Jumu'ah prayer. Now, if possible, I may be asked to lead the prayer somewhere else, and I may have to again lead the prayer somewhere else and then rush to that location and join them as early as I can for the rest of the Jumu'ah day, the rest of the Jumu'ah time. In fact, he lists several concerns that he had, and he itemized them, and I don't see myself having any difficulty with any of his concerns that he itemized. I support his whole program for the 26th weekend, February 26th weekend. I support his whole program. This Family Day, Unity March, Family Day, observance and celebration, I strongly support that. We need more awareness of our obligation as parents and of our obligation as adults in our community to support our neighborhood and to support our family, even if we're single. All of us should have strong interest in family and should be supporters of the good life of family. Farrakhan has taken a very good position to include family and family celebration, to celebrate the family. His words to me emphasize that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad family has been of real value to the association that we both belong to, the association of followers that we both belong to. That's the following of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, what used to be the following of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he's also been very, very valuable to African American people, generally. I would say that we have to now recognize that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been very significant to the city of Chicago, the people of the city of Chicago, and the history of the city of Chicago. Chicago magazine that I subscribed to, Channel 11, listed him among 100 persons who had most influence on the history of Chicago. And the Sun-Times, more recently, and also they did a poll, and Honorable Elijah Muhammad was among the 100 persons who have influenced the history of Chicago. looking at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a Muslim and as a servant of justice, he would say freedom, justice, and equality. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a Muslim, he has always told us that we are growing into the Muslim we will be. He never told us we were the Muslim that we would be. He said we are growing into the Muslim we will be. We are trying to be Muslim. Yeah, trying to be upright. Yeah. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as a fighter for freedom, justice, and equality, he knew his position was that he couldn't defend his people into the society of productive and responsible people if his own people weren't disciplined and responsible for their families and clean-minded. So he said, what I'm doing is cleaning you up. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in my opinion, has been a very successful medicine man in the black community. And he has helped to heal a lot of us. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not to be seen just as a Muslim leader. He's to be seen as a man with his people's weaknesses, with his people's deficiencies and illnesses, social illnesses mainly, on his mind and on his heart. And he sincerely works for the betterment of African Americans at large, just as did Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington and Du Bois and Dr. King and all.
Now, going back to that Juma prayer that will be held also during the 7th Day celebration, that would be a good place for Muslims of your community to have a Juma that day too, wouldn't it?
Yes, there's no reason for us not to join the Juma that they have on that Friday. I hope to be there, but I may receive invitations to be elsewhere. And there's not too many of me, you know. So if the right community invite me, I have an obligation to answer them. But as I say, I won't accept the invitation outside of Chicago. That'll permit me to join them later, after. I don't give long joke footballs anymore. So I'll be able to finish it early and get over there.
Now, there were some other questions that I had unrelated to this subject. Could we talk about those also today?
Certainly.
Let
me close me out.
Unless
comments on
if you have any more
recent change in language.
Yes, but if you have any closing statements that you'd like to say on this one.
Yes, in our last phone call conversation with Minister Farrakhan, I expressed a desire to meet with him at some time when his health would permit, to meet with him and discuss or to look for areas of cooperation for the two groups. I would think Islamic education is one of the areas. And there might be some other, even economics may be an area. His recent letter to me expressed his desire that we do have that meeting. And he invited me to come to his home in Michigan, the farm in Michigan, or to meet him in Chicago. So I would love to visit the farm if that's possible. At some time, I do hope to have a conversation with him, phone conversation with him again, perhaps today or tomorrow. And if I can reach him by phone, I will know within a couple of days, most likely, when that meeting is going to occur.
Now, I have made claims with some of the journalists over there, and they want me to interview him. And I wanted to make sure that you and I are in agreement on this before I even send communications to them. This is not for publication, just because your opinion on our interview with him.
Well, you know, you can tell him what I'm going to say too. He'll help sell our town. So please get the idea.
Okay, that turns to a totally different subject. There's been a lot of fascination with the year 2000. And the people have used the word millennium in just about everything. So, how should we as Muslims view this period? Are we to expect any special benefit or special changes in this millennium?
Yes, there's a caution, and then there's also a spirit to embrace the Christians in their celebration of the new millennium. The caution is this, that this is not our new millennium, this is Christian calendar. I think we should embrace the Christians in their spirit of celebration because there has been Islamic revival going on for at least 60 years and perhaps longer. In Pakistan, as Maulana Maududi, the late Maulana Maududi, there have been reformed leaders for Islam in Africa and everywhere. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, though very confused and very difficult to understand, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a spirit to contribute to a revival of Islam in the world. And from him has come his son, Imam Rashidun Muhammad, my leader. Because of that, we do have a renewal of Islamic spirit and life in the United States. The Jews also have been experiencing difficulty holding their children, keeping their children at home, keeping their children from being affected by the corrupt culture of the public life, the world, as all of us have been affected by that. Christians, Catholics, Protestants, Jews, Muslims, all of us have been affected by that. So you see, you will find that there are leaders among them too who are taking a second look at how they have perceived their religion and how they've been living their religion. So there's a kind of a revival going on everywhere. It's a general revival. It's a world revival. It's a revival of the spirit and purity of religion in the world communities, in the faith communities of the world. That's what we're experiencing. So I don't think it's just a Christian jubilee. It just so happens that they have, they are calling this the third millennium. But this time period is really a celebration for all of us. We're coming into new minds and better minds, and we are coming to grips with things we should have come to grips with a long time ago, like justice in Islam. We haven't respected justice in Islam. To do justice by our poor people and justice by our suffering people of the world, to address tyrants, as a recent author of a book on Omar says, his name is Basul, B-A-S-U-O-U-L, I'm not sure, O-U-L or something like that, Basul. He's a professor, he's a well-known scholar, author of Islamic literature. His recent book on opposition, and really Omar, he's dedicated to Omar, I believe, the Khalifa Omar, peace, may God be pleased with him. He questions the history, the recent history of Islam, modern leaders, and how modern leaders have really neglected to address the tyrants, to deny the Muslim public the right to live their lives as Muslims without their life being dictated to them by oppressors. So we have many oppressors in the Islamic world. We have many dictators. They really don't see themselves as oppressors, but they are certainly dictators. We have many dictators in the Islamic world, and the rule of consensus and the rule of shura does not exist. So the prophet says that the hand of God is on the majority. Yadullah Ali Jamal, the hand of God is on the majority, which means the rule of God is over the people. And the leader should respect that God rules over the people. And the people should be free to perceive what is God's way for them and live that way. And the ruler should support that, whether he's an imam or minister, religious leader, or not. He could be strictly political, strictly government, but he should guarantee the people the right to follow the Quran and Muhammad. And they are not doing that. So we are living in a time of revival for the whole world, and Muslims have serious need for reform in the Islamic community of the world.
Now, in your recent travels abroad, to Rome, to Israel, to Jerusalem, you didn't go along. You took time for delegation. North American Society members. Will you share with us the reasons the Genesis of taking the live dedication and how it differs from this one with the CAE? This was the Rome.
Well, Jerusalem was first. Rome, Israel, Jordan, Syria, Damascus, Syria. Yes. These are opportunities that open to us. We didn't plan this. We only embrace good people. And they invite us to join them. That's what happens, you know. So with the folklore people, we embrace the folklore people. They are very excellent Christians in character and in purpose. Their purpose, their service, their mission is very clear and very, very powerful. They call it the principle of Christ love, and they live it. They don't just say it, they live it. They practice sharing with each other. They practice helping families. And they include people of other religions in this movement, which is a moral movement. It's conceived early in the 40s, I think, during the war, during World War II, by the leader Pierre Lubitz. So we got to know that movement and to have acquaintance with, personal acquaintance with their leaders here a little bit. And my sincere embracing them and what they stand for have brought me to be accepted in many, many cities where they have offices of followers. So Rome was a district that was not altogether, I would say, owing to the folklore movement or their people, their offices, because the Archbishop of Baltimore, Cardinal Keeler, I met with him too and spoke to him very openly, shared with him very serious thoughts of mine, and he appreciated that openness and that sincerity, and he wanted to arrange a visit to the Vatican for me. So it was the two, but the Archbishop of Baltimore and the folklore people, then it was their combined support of me and my desire to have a visit to the Vatican to see, and have an audience which is holding this Pope John Paul II, a man that I've admired ever since he became leader. Again, that's a leader, that's not a leader just for Catholics. He's a leader for humanity. And I think any sincere leader in religion should respect such leaders and should recognize their contribution and should not let the differences in religion cause us to withhold support from people like that, because they are committing great contributions to the betterment of this whole world. So I wanted an audience with him, and I got an audience with him. And since then, I returned to the Vatican, as you know, and with religious leaders representing the different faiths of the world, hosted by His Holiness John Paul II. And I was honored, and I don't like to say I, because that honor really goes to us. We were honored to have present there and to be one of the suggestors there. The trip to Israel came I would say because of, I want to add, because of their knowledge of my visit to, invitation to be at the World Conference of Living Peace and international gathering there for their 7th anniversary in Amman, Jordan, hosted by the King and Prince. The Prince, so the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Israel, he invited me to also be his guest and to attend an interfaith gathering, to be a presence for an interfaith gathering, dialogue on peace, religious peace, resolving conflicts, etc., in Israel. One of the persons contributing to that meeting, an old friend, a friend of mine, and also a president of the same organization that I'm an international president of, World Council of Religion and Peace, WCRP. His name is Rabbi David Rosen. So when I learned that Rabbi David Rosen was involved, well, then I was anxious to get the invitation. So I got an invitation to Israel, and I visited Israel, as you know, with Imam Abu Hussein Hassan. Took wonderful pictures and did a great reporting on that trip, as he did on the long trip too. And we had a great conference, World Conference of Religion and Peace. We had a great conference in Amman, Jordan. They took me by bus, Israel. The Israel officials took me for the interfaith gathering. Took me by bus from our meeting in Israel to Amman, Jordan. And it was a wonderful trip. I saw the Sea of Galilee. I had only read about it in the Bible. I saw a lot over there. I saw the place where King Saul talked with his men to test them. This is in the Quran and in the Bible. To test them to see who was strong with him and who was not. He said, whoever takes the water and drink it continuously, like a horse or something, from the water, he would not be of them. They're his supporters, the supporters of King Saul. But whoever takes up a little bit with his hand, they would be among his supporters. Well, I saw the water pool there, and it comes from a source, but it was very clear. I said, this water looks like it's clear. I said, they not see it. Yeah, they told me, the Israeli host for us said, yes, it's clean, it's very clean, it's just for drinking. Very clean, clear water. So this was an experience for me that I could hardly describe to you. You know, reading of these things in the Bible, the ancient times and stuff, and in the Quran, reading the story, and now I'm really at the pool, you know. It was a great experience for me. But it was even a much greater experience for us, because I represent a following, a strong following of Muslims in America, who have a great history, a very special history of our very special life and our very special plight. And peculiar circumstances that made living very difficult for us in this world. Mm-hmm. And I'm the leader of those people now. Islam has just simplified everything for us. And you don't see any more confusion for our life. We don't have identity problems anymore. We don't have a hang up with the past anymore. So I represent a great victory in this country for African American people who followed on to Elijah Muhammad. And that's how I saw myself. So when I was at the Vatican, do you think I spoke there and then didn't take advantage of that opportunity to say Elijah Muhammad? I mentioned his name and said that I thought that he would share with me the joy of that occasion if he had been alive to witness it.
Now, I want to talk about New Africa because the concept of this village or town that we talked about, I'm wondering now if the establishment of CCC, will that enhance this? Do you envision that we will have like theaters and homes and stores?
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. We have been struggling since, I would say, since we realized that our life had been taken from us by white folks doing slavery.
Yes.
We've been struggling since then, and the struggle is to get more and more of our life to be our own responsibility. To me, that's the need in our soul. We won't be happy in our souls until we have that. And no matter how successful we are, how successful we are financially or politically or in education or wherever, industry, whatever, as individuals, as long as we see the great numbers of the people still without hope, still without substance, material substance, without responsibility for their neighborhood, not just their home, their neighborhood. They don't have a strong hand in their affairs and in shaping the future of their neighborhood. As long as that condition exists, we haven't done our job. And we are joining Christians who are working hard. They're working quietly. And I think we should work quietly. They're working quietly, but they're doing a great job to bring help to the neighborhood, help to their congregations, so that their congregations have not only a spiritual life, but they also have a good material life. We are joining them in that effort to strengthen the material life for African American people. And I do believe that we are going to be successful in addressing the cultural need as well as the material need. We'll be looking for opportunities to have healing that will be healing centers, good entertainment, but designed to heal the soul, heal the mind, free the mind for productive work. And by the way, you did a song once for us, and that song was a song about the determination of the oppressed to take charge of their lives.
The rise of Almighty
people? Yes, yes, the rise of Almighty people. Yes. And so you are expected to do some more of that. You know, we have an obligation to do some more of that, and eventually we will have our theater. Showing Islam, showing us as Muslims, but also showing us as Muslims who accepted our Muslim responsibility to better our environment, to better the environment that we live in and share with Christians and others. CPC is to me is the spearhead of that effort. And I do believe we'll be very successful.
Now, in the area of presidential politics, the sharing seem to indicate that the Republicans are going right behind President Bush, and the Democrats are going line up most likely behind Vice President Gore. And I remember in the past, you and I both was a Bush man, so how?
Yes, I do. I do remember. But that was the daddy Bush. It was not the son. You know, I think we have an obligation, the leaders, to get the true picture of these candidates and give that picture to our voting public. The general has to do that. We should be given the campaign information on campaign materials to be circulated by all the candidates so that our leadership will be able to make informed choices.
This is my last question. In terms of, I think you just answered this question, but since it's here, maybe you can elaborate on it. In terms of cultural activities, poetry, drama, theater, songs, etc., are we manifesting the growth you anticipated, or would you like to see more of this activity?
Much more. I'm happy to see the amount of I would say support we do have around the country. Sister Halima Omar, you familiar with her? The jazz pianist, yeah. Halima Omar. She's a young woman. But she has years, okay? She has years. And she has a strong interest in not just creating art or music or plays or whatever for the sake of entertainment. But she has her emphasis to create it as the vehicle for presenting the better life of our community, the Muslim life of our community, and for carrying a message too, a message from us to our people who want to rise with us. Of our new spirit, our new sense of culture, I support her because I see that what she will produce will have the spirit of faith in it. And Wali Ali is another artist that I think we're going to get a lot of good help from Wali Ali. So Salima Omar, Wali Ali, a few others. I hope that they will just take the lead along with yourself. Mm-hmm. Along with yourself. They'll just take the lead. So at the next conference, annual convention which will be in Chicago. It has been approved already. It will be in Chicago. There should be workshops for artists of good character, like Salima Omar, Wadi Ali, yourself and others. You offer to lift, and you offer panel workshop. And someone from the group should also address the convention, if it's no more than 5 minutes, to let us know what are we to expect from our artists in the community, in terms of us putting our spirit into this popular culture.
Now, one last question concerning you. Have you observed the kind of enthusiasm from Islam, and are you that is necessary for healthy, chronic growth? And by that I mean, could you share with us your hopes and expectations for the next generation?
For youth,
yes.
Because we want the youth to assume leadership positions, not for the present as much as for the future. And that means we want them to study what we've accomplished so far and study our leaders, the present leaders we have. We have many of them. Myself, of course, so we have Imam Pleman, El Amin, Tawheed El Amin of Atlanta, who's the convener of the Shura, and the director of education for Atlanta, the most impressive, I would say, effort in education that we have in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So there are others too. There are Shu'ites in Oakland, California, who's a very outstanding leader. All-around leader, great peacemaker, but an all-around leader who's responsible for education in his congregation, and who have done a lot of great, work for propagating Islam and presenting Islam in the proper picture, in the right picture, in his area, in the open area, and outside of the area, because he's a speaker who's wanted by many people. He goes all over the United States. There's also Qasim Ahmed, who I worked with in Chicago on Stony Island when I was resident imam, responsible for the school, who's the imam in Houston. And we have many of them. There are also some females coming to the forefront who are Islamic leaders. So we have to understand that Islamic leadership is not only for males, it's for males and females. And that's the way it was in the time of our Prophet, peace be upon him, and after, and that's the way it will always be. Females can rise to the height of position as scholars or students of the religion of Islam and servants of the Muslim society. They can rise to positions that will demand that we give them recognition. And we have some females, I don't want to name any of them, but I know at least 10 sisters in this community who, in my opinion, deserve to be counted among the leaders of Islam for us in America.
Now, I heard a case, I think it was in the West Coast recently, where you told them to step forward.
Yes, I saw them coming forward. I let them know that I was cheering them on. It's just the IC is definitely one of them.
That's a lot of people.
Yes, sir. Yes. So we have leaders, and we have to recognize them. We want our youth to see them, not just looking for the brothers and see men only, but they should look and recognize our female leaders too we have in this community. And they should learn from them. And 5 years, we have seen women come forward, females from our community, and they have presented themselves as
persons who have great leadership qualifications for the Islamic community in America. So we want our youth to know them and to learn from them, as well as to know and learn from the male leaders in the community, like Imam Kleeman Tawheed al-Amin of Atlanta. My spokesperson for my ministry, Earl Abdul Malik Muhammad, and Qasim Ahmed, and Fahim Juaid of Oakland, California. And they might not have a tendency to look at the old soldiers, but these old soldiers, and some of them are younger than I am, they should also look at those who have still with us, and they had positions in the time of Al-Ali Muhammad. They were ministers or leaders in the time of Al-Ali Muhammad, and they are still leaders now. So they should really look closely at these two persons and should study them and should look to see what contribution we all are making, separately and all together. What contributions we are making separately and what contributions we are making together. And study to see if that can be a strong support for them. If we can't offer them a support, if we can't offer them a beginning, a platform to stand on, a position to support for the future of our families in this America, in these United States of America, then they should be looking for another organization. So that's what I invite our young leaders to do.
Brother Dan, I thank you very much for this time. I hope I didn't hold you too long. But Dave, is there any other thing that I didn't think of that you want to speak to now?
No? Nothing except the Eid that's coming up. And you know we all high-spirited. Sentiments, better sentiments, are dancing inside of us. We're ready for Eid, to celebrate the great Eid, the Eid al-Fitr. So we hope to join all of the believers in the great celebration of the fast, the conclusion of the fast month, the Eid al-Fitr, and we wish them a happy and blessed Eid.
Would you say that in Arabic for us?
Yes. Eid Sa'id Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad. Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of W.D. Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.